Please turn with me to the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews and Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We shall read verses 5 and 6. Hebrews 11, verses 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. We wish to consider briefly the faith of Enoch, and especially to note the manner of his departure from this world. A remarkable departure, and yet one that has lessons for us as the Lord's people. Here is a man who lived by faith. He knew God and he walked with God. And that surely is to be true of all the Lord's people. By grace, their eyes have been opened, the eyes of their understanding, that they should know God and their need of God. For they also get a knowledge of their sin. And because of their sin, their unfitness for God, and yet in Jesus Christ, mercy to such is revealed by God himself. And in the gospel, Christ is declared to us as the way to God. And in him, we do have a right relation to God, justified freely by his grace. And only when we have this knowledge, this saving knowledge of God in Jesus Christ, can we begin walking with God. That surely is what man was made for, to be with God, to walk in his ways, to have fellowship with him. Well, in this chapter, this precious chapter in Hebrews, we are learning of many of the godly of the Old Testament, men and women of faith, and here is the second who is given here after Abel. We have Enoch, and just a few words regarding Enoch, but they tell us so much concerning him. And the remarkable thing concerning Enoch is the way he left this world. And our first point is his translation. His translation by faith. Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. To translate is to take from one place to another, to remove from one place to another place. And the remarkable thing with regard to Enoch is this. His translation took him from time to eternity, this world to the next, earth to heaven. And we might be saying, well, is that not true of all the Lord's people? Yes, it is. But this man went bodily to heaven. He did not see death. An extraordinary thing. Moses tells us in the book of Genesis of the other patriarchs, those who were before Enoch and after him, and in each case we're told that they died. They died. But here is Enoch, and he is relatively young. You know how the patriarchs lived to a great age. But Enoch was relatively young, and yet he was not, for God took him. One other individual under the Old Testament for whom the Lord did the same, and that was Elijah the prophet, as we read in 2 Kings chapter 2. Taken up by a whirlwind into heaven, the chariot of God coming for him, and he taken, we believe, by the angels into glory bodily. Grace to glory. That is what it was for both Enoch and Elijah in an instant, changing their state, going from grace to glory. But here is the thing, they did not change their company, their essential company. Enoch walked with God. And as one who walked with God, suddenly he was in the immediate presence of God. All that we could say the same thing. We have our family, our friends, we have fellowship with the Lord's people while we are here, and these are blessings from God. But the great thing is that we are walking with God, that he is the one we are delighting in above any other. He is the one we are closest to. He is the one we are having communion with, in faith, prayer, in the Word, as God enables us. And so for Enoch, enjoying this fellowship, it did not come to an end. He went immediately into glory, and there the fellowship continued, but now face to face. And we're told that he was translated by faith. And that challenges us. What faith was this, such that Enoch was translated, that he should not see death? Well, we believe it was the same saving faith as God works in all of his people, Old Testament and New Testament. And you know that faith requires revelation, divine revelation. We are enabled to believe by the Holy Spirit in light of divine testimony, the gospel, the whole word of God, God speaking to us, making himself known to us, and the way of salvation, and the Spirit giving us understanding and belief concerning these things. If faith requires divine revelation, then it can only mean that Enoch was given some intimation from God concerning his departure, that this thing would happen. He was aware of it before the event. And reading in 2 Kings chapter 2, it seems that Elijah also was aware that he was about to be taken up. And Elisha was aware of it too. Often the Lord's people themselves come to that point in their lives Perhaps earthly ties are being broken one by one. Their place here is not as secure as it was before. There's a loosening and there's a preparation from God, a readiness that they begin to experience for their departure. Paul was ready to be offered. He knew, it seems, what was before him, that he must suffer for the Lord's sake and even be put to death for faithfulness to his Redeemer. And it may be with God's people that they have some awareness of the nearness of their departure from this world. Enoch waited patiently until that time, that moment came. He was not found because God had translated him. Others, no doubt, looked for him. Possibly he was taken up when he was alone, and his disappearance was a mystery to others. When you read Genesis chapter 5 and chapter 6, the number of the truly godly seems to have been very few. By the time we read in chapter 6, we're faced with man's depravity. God repenting himself that he made man upon the face of the earth and determined to destroy man because the imagination of man's heart was only wicked and evil, even every thought. And so Enoch was translated, taken up, and his place in this world knew him hence no more forever. Then we have the explanation. An explanation is given for Enoch's translation. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. That is essential, is it not? With respect to all the Lord's people, that in some way we please God. It pleased God to choose us in Christ to be his. That was his sovereign good pleasure. Now, there was no feature, no character, no work, no faith in us that he should choose us. But choose us he did, to magnify his mercy and his grace. He chose us to salvation, through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And that belief of the truth is essential. And as we learn in verse 6, faith is essential because without faith it is impossible to please God. Enoch's life was pleasing to God. He walked with God. He delighted in the Lord. And the Lord afforded him fellowship with himself through the mediator. Because since the fall, that is the only way we can have a right relation with God in Christ Jesus. Enoch saw the coming of Christ from a great distance. Living so close to God, doubtless, he got an insight into the things of God. There was no written revelation. But God spoke. God spoke to his people. And they had the sacrifices already. And through those sacrifices, God instructed his people as to the way of redemption. That was surely true of Abel. Abel who was righteous, and Abel who offered the sacrifice required by God, even the best of his flock. And the blood shed, and there, light, spiritual light for the people of God. Redemption by sacrifice, by blood, and looking beyond any animal to the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who takes away sin. There is a remarkable word in Jude, in his epistle, concerning Enoch. How extraordinary that we should read of Enoch in Jude's epistle. And we're told that Enoch was a prophet. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, the seventh generation, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." The Lord will come, and the Lord will come in judgment. Enoch saw that from afar. And he preached it. He made it known. Enoch recognized the sinfulness of his own day and age. And that God, as the righteous one, would bring judgment to bear upon that generation. And it happened in the days of Noah with the flood, the deluge which swept away mankind except Noah and his household. So Enoch, by the Spirit of God, was making certain truths known to his own generation. The truths of sin and the wages of sin, which is death, judgment, and heaven and hell. And he was a man of faith and a man of conviction. He believed the truth according to the revelation he had. And as one who walked with God and made God's truth known, a man that some no doubt despised, perhaps many, perhaps most just ignored him, got on with their carnal lives. But many secretly had an admiration for him. And you find that, do you not? Often the godly in any age have few who walk the same way, love the same things, do the same things, have the same values as they do. The world just goes on as it ever did. And yet, among those of the world, there's an understanding that those that fear God and love Jesus Christ, they have something that those of the world do not have and cannot find. They have peace within. They have a heavenly hope. And that is an attractive thing. And the joy that goes with it. And friends, it should be seen in us And it should speak to our day and generation. The world around us has nothing in this regard. Nothing for eternity. So many of them hardly seem to believe in eternity at all. But their conscience must speak to them. And the things that happen in providence, and death coming, these things must speak to them. And we believe that the translation of Enoch spoke in his day. The sudden extraordinary removal of this godly man. Well, the people must have been wondering, what does this mean? He's taken away Enoch. Such a young age. Perhaps some began to think more deeply and to remember the things that Enoch spoke. And some, perhaps, even beginning to seek the Lord. Enoch was a type of Christ. Christ in his ascension, the difference of course with Christ is that Christ died and was buried and rose again, but then ascended up on high, even as the disciples looked on and looked up until the clouds hid him from view. Christ will soon return. We cannot say when, but we believe it because God's word declares it. And when Christ returns to this world, there will be many, of course, alive at that time. Millions, billions of individuals alive in this world. What will happen to them? Well, we're told what will happen to the godly when the Lord Jesus returns. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. The saints who are on earth when Jesus Christ returns will be translated. They shall not see death. They shall go from grace to glory. This is a remarkable thing, is it not? But there are so many remarkable things in connection with the return of Christ. So many profound things will happen. The resurrection of all mankind, the just and the unjust, their gathering together for judgment, and the books opened, and each one receiving his or her sentence from the Lord, the final separation, the eternal state. And evidences of these things, figures of these things, there in Scripture, even in the Old Testament. And the Lord will be with his people. The whole church redeemed by his blood. With him. For all eternity. Well, to apply this briefly. And to do so from the words in verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So many people seem to think it is sufficient simply to believe that there is a God. That's faith. I believe in God. I believe that there is a God. Well, that may be faith after a fashion, but it is not saving faith. It is not the faith that pleases God, that is acceptable to him. And if we do not have saving faith, nothing we do can be acceptable unto God. Saving faith is to trust God. It is to receive divine revelation, and that divine revelation being mixed with faith in our hearts, but it has an effect upon our lives. The Spirit of God is in this. The grace of God is at work. And there is a new nature. We are new creatures. We now walk by faith and not by sight. There's been a transformation. Faith is central to our new life. We trust in the God who has made himself known to us in his own inspired and infallible word. We seek him in the scriptures. And the secret of this is that you and I have experienced a translation. Not a physical one, but a spiritual one. And you have that in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. Who have delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Paul writing to the believers at Colossae, stating a truth which is applicable to us here today. This is what makes us to be Christians, that we have been quickened together with Christ. We have been born again. We have been translated out of Satan's kingdom and into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of grace. And we may say that having been so translated, we are already ascended. Spiritually, we have been taken up spiritually, and spiritually we are in heaven. That is where our hearts now are. Paul writes of this to the Ephesians, that we are quickened together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, there is our translation. And our thought might be this: if the Lord took Enoch home, if the Lord took Elijah home by that physical translation, why does he not do it to more of his people? Why does he not do it to us? And as ever, there are secret things that belong unto the Lord our God, and are not revealed to us. But we may certainly say this: God is pleased to reveal his love to his people and display his grace and power with respect to his people in different ways. But ordinarily, the wonder of his grace is seen, and the wonder of his grace is experienced in his leaving his people in this hostile world, even in a day and age equivalent perhaps to that in which Enoch lived, so that they live and serve by grace, and they worship him, and they follow Christ, and they're faithful to Christ, despite all the difficulties, and in the face of all the opposition and the temptation. And the reality of grace and the preciousness of grace is seen and understood in the way in which God's people, in all their weakness and their inability, are saved and kept, and they're brought through every trial, and they will one day have their removal, their soul returning to the Lord and into the presence of their King. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. With faith, a God-given faith, well then we can do all things through Christ, who does indeed strengthen us. And he will do so until the time he has appointed for our removal to glory. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. O Lord, grant thy blessing upon thy truth. We thank thee for the comfort and consolation of thy word, and for its great promises, whereby our faith is encouraged, and we are enabled to persevere. May we be such as walk with thee, and are faithful unto our end here. Forgive our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen.